From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Voting has just wrapped up in Afghanistan's parliamentary election. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports from Kabul that voter turnout has been modest amid the relatively low level of violent incidents.
A small earthquake shook Kabul overnight, causing no major damage, and a pre-dawn rocket attack near NATO headquarters in the Afghan capital caused no injuries. Scattered incidents across the country targeted security forces and polling stations, but overall levels of violence were low, despite threats by the Taliban insurgents to disrupt the vote. About 2,500 Afghans are running for 249 seats in the lower house of the parliament. 1 year ago, the Afghan presidential election was subject to widespread fraud, and observers said that could be one reason for what appears to be low voter turnout today. In advance of the election, authorities considered that many areas of the country were simply too dangerous to open polling stations, but government officials said they aimed to have the best election they could in order to keep the democratic process alive in Afghanistan. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Kabul.
Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski says she's running for re-election as a write-in candidate. As NPR's Martin Costi reports, Murkowski's campaign is a long shot, but it may change the outcome of the race.
Murkowski lost the primary election to Joe Miller, a former judge from Fairbanks with support from Sarah Palin and the Tea Party. But instead of resigning herself to defeat, Murkowski said the Republican Party in Alaska had been hijacked. And now, after several weeks of speculation about her next step, she's asking her supporters to write in her name on the general election ballot. Republicans in Washington are worried that she and Miller may end up splitting the conservative vote, which could hand the election to the Democratic candidate, Scott McAdams. So far, the Republican establishment is behind Miller, but Murkowski is believed to have substantial campaign funds in reserve. Martin Costi, NPR News.
President Obama is taking Senate Republicans to task over campaign spending limits. He's accusing the GOP of blocking a bill that would limit the amount of money companies and unions can spend on campaign advertising.
This is the kind of proposal that Democrats and Republicans have agreed on for decades. Yet the Republican leaders in Congress have so far said no. They've blocked this bill from even coming up for a vote in the Senate.
Mr. Obama was speaking in his weekly address. The bill stems from a Supreme Court ruling that he said has given special interests the power to spend without limit in order to influence elections. The bill has passed the House but is stalled in the Senate. In their weekly address, Congressman Greg Walden of Oregon renewed the Republicans' call for an up or down vote on all of the tax cuts that are set to expire in January. He's also calling for spending cuts to 2008 levels, saying the government needs to make the same tough choices the rest of the country has made during the recession. And from Washington, this is NPR News. Officials are confirming that the damage caused by a fast-moving storm that hit New York City on Thursday included two tornadoes. One hit Brooklyn, and Brian Simnecki of the National Weather Service says the other touched down in Queens.
The second tornado was confirmed in the Flushing Bayside area of Queens. That one developed approximately at about 5:42 p.m., that was an EF1 with estimated maximum sustained winds of about 100 miles an hour.
The twisters tore a 14-mile path of destruction. One person was killed. Only eight other tornadoes have hit the city since 1950. In China, protesters are marking a politically sensitive anniversary with anti-Japanese demonstrations. As NPR's Louisa Lim reports from Beijing, there have been small protests in several Chinese cities.
In Beijing, dozens of protesters marched to the Japanese embassy. They stamped on a Japanese flag there and sang the national anthem. They demanded the release of a Chinese captain, arrested by Japan after his fishing boat collided with two Japanese Coast Guard vessels near the disputed Diaoyu Islands. This incident has reawakened anti-Japanese sentiment in China, and protesters also called for a boycott of Japanese goods. There were small protests in at least five Chinese cities, including Shanghai and Shenzhen. Today marks the 79th anniversary of the Mukden incident that led to Japan's occupation of northeast China. While not stopping the protests, the authorities have worked to forestall them, deleting online notices and closing sensitive websites. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.